direction here in Romans chapter 6, what it means to you and me as God's children. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of meeting here in the middle of the week and opening your word together, and pray you'll use it in our hearts to teach us now. We want to please you and glorify you and lift you up, and pray that will happen now in this service. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Of course, we saw there in chapters 4 and 5 some reminders that when we are saved, we are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. We call that eternal security. Verse 1 gives us the number one argument from those who don't believe in eternal security. What they'll say is, well, if I believed what you believe, then I would just go do whatever I wanted, get away with it, and still go to heaven. And they're trying to argue a point. They're not using scripture. They're using logic. But Paul even asks the question himself. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin? Remember, we saw in verse 5 that he giveth more grace. He gives more grace than all of our sin. When we got saved, all of our sins were forgiven, and we were given infinite grace. Paul says, does that mean now we can go do whatever we want? Which is what the people who believe you can lose your salvation are constantly saying. That it just gives us a license to sin. Paul says, what? God forbid. God forbid. So if you go to Galatians 5:13, we'll look at a couple of scriptures, but whenever someone tries to use that as an argument, just remind them of a couple of things. Number one, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. Amen? And he is God. He now indwells us and is there to lead us, there to convict us, there to guide us into truth. And so, no, we do not have a license to do whatever we want, because the Holy Spirit is there to convict, to hopefully lead and control, to hopefully bring us back if we try to leave God's will and so forth. So that's part of the argument. The other part of the argument is people who make that statement obviously don't believe in chastisement or don't even know what it is. Chastisement is God dealing with sin in his children. It is not God dealing with sin in the lost. He doesn't need to deal with sin in the lost. If they don't get saved, they're going to hell. Their sin will be dealt with for eternity. Chastisement is only for children of God, for saved people. Amen? So that's your two-pronged response. I won't call it an argument, but is number one, the Holy Spirit moves in, and so we're now a new creature. And number two, no, we don't have a license to sin. And if we try it, God will deal to us as our Heavenly Father who loves us and wants what's best for us, like we are supposed to do for our children. So here in Galatians 5:13, look what God says. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Yes, as Christians, we have been given liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given freedom from the law, freedom from being having rules and regulations held over our heads. And it says, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, So yes, you've been given liberty, but not liberty to sin. That's what he's saying. You've been given complete liberty in Christ, but that doesn't mean you have the liberty to go out and sin and serve the flesh, but by love serve one another, as we read there. So the answer to Paul's rhetorical question is, of course not. Of course we shouldn't go out and do whatever we want and continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid, he says. God forbid that a Christian would have that attitude. Well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that'll never change. I can just go do whatever I want and live like the devil. Well, try it and see what happens. You probably won't like the consequences. And so Paul says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? In other words, we've been crucified. The old man has been crucified. Most of us know Galatians 2:20. We don't need to turn there. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life of time, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Go to Colossians 3:3. We are dead. That's what this passage is about. The old man is dead. The new man is alive. We have been passed from death unto life. But Paul is saying, if we're dead to sin, if the old man has been crucified, why should we serve the old man? Why should we even listen to the old man? Colossians 3:3, for ye are what? Dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. We're dead. And then back in our passage, which we'll look in a couple of weeks at verse 13, but look what it says. Actually, verse 11. Reckon ye yourselves also to be what? Dead. We're dead. The old man is dead. And if you go to verse 3 of our passage, it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So when we are born again, we are baptized into his death. Sadly, many people, when they see the word baptized, they immediately see water. That's not what this verse is talking about, is it? It's talking about how we are baptized into Christ. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:13, if you want to turn over there. But there's water's not even within 10 kilometers of this verse. This is not about water. This is about baptism by the Spirit of God into Jesus, the body of Christ, when we get saved. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Did you notice that Spirit is capital S? That's because it's the Holy Spirit that baptizes us into one body. The writers want us to believe that's the Spirit of fellowship through the water. Well, whatever. Go to Galatians 3:27. So what Paul is saying is you're dead when you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. First of all, you were baptized into the death of Christ. We say that when we do a water baptism, but a water baptism doesn't do any of this. It's just representative of what has already happened. That's why I say buried with him and then raised to walk in newness of life, which comes from Romans chapter 6. So notice Galatians 3:27. There is, for as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we were baptized into Jesus when we got saved. We were put into him. And so what happened to him happened to us. And what Paul is saying is we've been baptized into his death. We've been, when he died, we died with him. Then it says in verse 4 of our passage, and we're buried with him. So when he was buried, we were buried. Why? Because we're in him. You say, but it was 2,000 years ago. It doesn't matter. Time means nothing to God. And so when we were placed into Christ, what happened to Christ happened to us. We were buried with him. We were baptized into his death. And if you go to Colossians 2:12, we'll see a very interesting verse on this. Colossians 2:12, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Colossians 2:12, there was somebody used to come for years, but they came from a Presbyterian background, and they were born again, but they had been sprinkled and had always had all these verses to back up their position. I'd try to show them that, you know, they went down into the water, right, the Ethiopian eunuch, and he baptized him. And this person said, yeah, took the water and baptized him. Had an answer for everything, but it was Colossians 2:12 that was the convincing verse, buried with him in baptism. If that's water, it doesn't make any sense, does it? And it finally clicked that, oh, baptism doesn't always mean water. Sometimes it means something else. And this is not talking about water. But the point is, buried. Hence, immersion. It makes sense, doesn't it? Sprinkling doesn't picture burial. But immersion sure does. And it clicked. Buried with him in baptism. So we are baptized into his death. We are buried with him. And then verse 4, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, so we're baptized into his death, we're buried with him, and the good news is we're also raised with him. We're resurrected with him. As it says here in verse 4, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This is the cornerstone of Christianity, isn't it? Jesus rose from the dead. We're going to celebrate that this Sunday, but we celebrate it every Sunday. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Paul said, we're of all men most miserable. We're living for nothing. We've chosen to believe nothing that's going to help us. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then there's no resurrection. It is the cornerstone of our faith, isn't it? That Christ conquered death. He rose from the dead. And hallelujah for that. And as I mentioned earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. For Colossians 3:1, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things above, and so forth. So we are now raised up from the dead. So everything that happened to Jesus on that weekend, he died, he was buried, and he rose again, happened to us. Because we have been baptized into Christ. So verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall all be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So now what God is saying is, our soul, all these things that happen to our soul, right? We got rescued from sin, we were buried with him, we died with him, we resurrected with him, but he's saying, beyond that, we also, in the future, get a body like his. The likeness of his resurrection. And God tells us this in a couple places. Go to Philippians 3:21 and we'll look at one of them. But we, one day, will be in the full likeness of his resurrection when we leave this earth through death or the rapture and receive our new Christ-like body. Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And then go to 1 John 3:2, if you would. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that good? We shall be like him. So one day, we will have a body in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So Paul is teaching us about the victory that we have through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are now in the likeness of his resurrection. Our soul is, one day our body will be. But he's saying, then why serve sin? The old man's dead, buried. Then you have a new man now in the likeness of Jesus Christ. So serve Jesus Christ. Go to Ephesians 4, if you would, verse 22. And look what it says. And that you put on, verse 22, that you put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the former lust. So this is what Christians are supposed to do. We're supposed to put that old man off. And then verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then verse 24, and put on what? The new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, make true practically what is already true doctrinally. Put on the new man. Put off the old man. Crucify the flesh, because it's already crucified. And Paul said, I die daily. So praise God that when we were born again, we were put into Christ and we were buried with him. We died with him. And we came back to life and were resurrected with him. And we are now a new creature. And it is the new creature we are to live. The old man is dead. We're to leave him alone, not listen to him. And we're just to be the new man. That is, our soul is now in the likeness of his resurrection. One day our body will be. But it's all about what Jesus did. Amen? He's already resurrected. He's already given us a new life through what he did. Hallelujah. The likeness of his resurrection. Lord, I thank you for your word and pray that we would live what we already are. And that is a new creature, that we put off the old man and put on the new man, that we might serve you until you take us to glory. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.